We're going to be talking about how to spend time alone with God. And you know, when we begin to talk about a subject like that, it really begins to get to us because we realize how often we've fallen short in that area of our life. So we just want to share some things. Maybe you haven't known how to have a time alone with God, or even what it is, or why do it, or anything like that. So we're going to begin to answer some of those questions for you this morning. And, you know, a lot of times our lives are kind of like this. Our kind of lives are kind of like the two guys who were going across a cow pasture one day, you know, and they started walking across the cow pasture, and they got over there about halfway across, and all of a sudden, they looked over, and there's a great big bull. And about the time they saw the bull saw them, and they started running across the cow pasture. Boy, they were just going after that big bull. He was going faster than they were, you know. And he was just coming right across there, and he was getting closer and closer, even though they were running as fast as they could. And when he was just on their tail, boy, one of the guys says to the other guys, he says, "You pray." And the other says, "I don't know but one prayer." And the other guy says, "Pray it." And he says, "Oh, Lord, make us thankful for that which we're about to receive." And it occurs to me that a lot of times our Christian life's about that shallow. I know a lot of times mine is, and yet that's not really the way God wants it to be. You know, He wants us to spend time alone with Him, and the way we get our relationship deep with Him is to spend that time alone with Him. Have you ever asked yourself this question? Have you ever asked yourself the question, what is my purpose in life? What is my purpose in life? You know, the Bible's very plainly and very clearly given that to us over in 1 Corinthians 10:31. It says, whether you eat or whether you drink or whatever you do, whether you go out on a date or go to school or, you know, just hacking around or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Well then, you know, the question occurs to me next is, well then how do I glorify God with my life? What is it in my life that needs to glorify God? What glorifies God with my life? And Romans 8:29 tells us that from the very beginning, God determined or God decided that those who came to Him should become like His Son, Jesus. Well then, good grief, how do you become like Jesus Christ? You say, man, I'm not like Jesus Christ. There ain't no way, man. How do I become like Jesus Christ? Well, let's look over in Acts. If you have your Bible, just turn over there with me. Acts, the 4th chapter and the 13th verse. Here's what it says. It says, when the council saw the boldness of Peter and John and could see that they were obviously uneducated non-professionals, that includes most of us, that includes me, they were amazed and realized what being with Jesus had done for them. What being with Jesus had done for them. Now, man, that's unreal when you begin to think about it. Because these two guys, Peter and John, these men who they were standing before to share their life in Jesus Christ, these men realized that they had been with Jesus. Let me ask you a question, all you people in the back there. Let me ask you a question. Did the people at your school realize that you have been with Jesus Christ? Do the people in your home realize that you have been with Jesus Christ? Down here, do the people at your school realize that you have been with Jesus Christ? I mean, when you go to school, does your life so glorify Jesus Christ that they actually know that you have been with Jesus Christ? That's what we're talking about this morning. How can people know that you've been with Jesus Christ? Because you have been with Him and spent time alone with Him. And that's what we're talking about this morning. That's what we're talking about this morning. And what we're trying to say about all this is, we're trying to say that we'd like for you as a person, and like for every Christian as a person, every young person in here, to come to the place where you are able to spend time alone with God in such a way that you become independently dependent on Jesus Christ. I like that phrase, that you become independently dependent on Jesus Christ so that you can walk with Him and walk with God by yourself. So let's just begin to look at it this morning. I want you to do something for me. You got your program there, don't you? Okay. Everybody's got a program. Pick it up and wave it around for me. Will you do that? Okay. Looks like I got about 8 million of those in here. Okay. All you people, put those down. Now, all you people that don't have one, raise your hand. You bunch of sorry rascals. Okay. Well, get with somebody where you can see one because we're going to use it. Or if you can't see one, at least get a piece of paper, okay? Pencil? Got a Bible? Whip that out, because we're going to be doing a little work here. And it's going to be fun work, though. Okay, here's what we want to do. First thing we want to do on your program, it says on one part of your program, it says time alone with God. And we're going to answer the question, what is time alone with God? That's the first question we're going to answer. What is time alone with God? Okay? And the first thing that you want to write down there, what is time alone with God? It is a time of personal fellowship with God. A time of personal fellowship with God. About 5 years ago, I walked into a library and looked over to my left and I saw the most beautiful girl that I'd ever seen in my entire life. I said, I want to meet that girl. So I sneaked around back through the stacks of books in the library, you know, and kind of moved a few of them over like that and kind of peered through there, you know, kind of checking her out. Looked her over and said, I really do want to meet that girl. And the longer I looked, the more I wanted to meet her, you know. So I decided I'd just go right around there and meet her. I went over there. She was with another guy. I introduced myself. I spoke to him, said, hi, Wayne, and then just kind of stood there. You know, he didn't have any choice but to introduce me. And so as I just kind of stood there and talked with him and then began to talk with her, I began to realize several things. I began to realize that she was very pretty. I began to realize that she had a good personality. I began to realize that she was very intelligent. And over the next couple, 3 days, as I spent some time with her, I began to realize, you know, that she made good grades and she came from a good family and a lot of different things like that. I began to realize some of these things about her, you know. And then our relationship continued on, and I spent a lot of time with that girl named Carol Price. And then one night, several months later, I knew it was time. And so, boy, I just laid one on her, just kissed her, as big as life, right there, you know. Found out another thing about her. She didn't have bad breath. And then as our relationship continued, we got engaged. And then on June 14th, 1970, I married her, and I've been married to her for 4 years. Every day, I've been married to her. And you know, I found out a lot of things about her since then. I found out that she is a very sensitive person and that she has deep insight into other people and she can read their character very quickly. I've also found out that she is a good mother. I didn't know that when I was in that library that first night when I was introduced to her. She's a very good mother. And I've also found out what a fantastic family she comes from. And I found out all kinds of unique things about her. Her relationship to the Lord is a deep, abiding, unique relationship to the Lord. I didn't know that when I met her that night. But I've learned all those things. And let me tell you, I've learned a lot of other things. I won't share those with you. But I've learned a lot of other things about her. Because of what? Because of the fact that for the last 5 years, I've spent more time with her than anybody else on the earth. And I know her probably better than anybody else on the earth. And the same thing holds true in your relationship to Jesus Christ. That as you spend time alone with Him, as you get to know Him, then you get to find out things about Him that you've never known before. And He begins to find out things about you. And He reveals those to you about yourself that you've never known before about yourself. And man, it's exciting to begin to know those things. You know, the Bible says in Philippians 3:10, it says that the whole purpose of our life and the whole reason that we live in the Christian life is so that we can know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, so we can know Him. To know Him. That's the purpose of the Christian life. That's what it's all about. And if you miss that part of the Christian life, if you think the Christian life is anything besides that or beyond that or around that, then you've missed the whole point of the Christian life, because the whole point is to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. That's what He wants you to do. To know Him in a personal way, so that you can spend your life with Him, so that you can talk with Him and walk with Him and be His person. Now there's another thing about this time alone with God, and this is the second thing I want you to write down under what is time alone with God. Time alone with God is a time when you take a real, honest, evaluation of your life. Now look, let's face it. At school, here's what you do all the time, isn't it? At school, you get up in the morning and you hurry up and you put your clothes on and you throw them on and you run down and you grab a bite to eat and you start off to school. You run down to school and you hop on the bus and you ride to school and you jabber, jabber, jabber all the way. And you finally get there and you go to your class and you listen in the class and then you jabber in between classes and you go from class to class to class. And then you finally school's out. You go to band practice, ball practice, this meeting, that meeting, the other meeting. You come home, you eat supper and you're about exhausted and you get, and then you get up from supper and you go back out to a meeting and you come home, you study a few minutes, you lay down and you go to bed and you wake up the next morning and you do the same thing for 9 straight months and then for 3 months in the summer you have to sleep it off. Isn't that right? And you never stop to take a real, honest evaluation of your life. You never stop to really look at your life and see what you're really like as a person. To see who you are. And where you're going with your life. And God wants you to do that not once every 6 months, not once every 9 months, but He wants you to do that day by day by day as you spend time alone with Him. The Bible says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me to the way everlasting. Search me, O God, and know my heart." When was the last time God searched your heart? Boy, He's been searching mine as I've spent time alone with Him. And I'm beginning to learn a lot of things about myself. You know one thing I've learned recently? I've learned recently that I have a very critical spirit toward other people. I have a tremendous ability to cut people down. That ever occurred to you that you have that in your life? And boy, God just convicted me about that. And I began to realize that He wants to take that out of my life and do away with it. Now, I could have never realized that just rushing and hurrying around, but I began to realize that because I spend time alone with God day by day. It's a time when you really honestly look and evaluate your own life. Stop! That's what God wants to say to you. Scared this little girl down here to death. God wants you to just stop and look at your life and begin to evaluate it day by day as you get to know Him better and better. Okay, there's another thing that God wants you to do about quiet time, about what is a quiet time, and that is that He wants that time to be a time of committing your day to the Lord. A time of committing your day to the Lord. What's coming up in your day? What's coming up for you? Is it a test? Is it a party? Is it a swimming party? Is it a date? What is it? You know, all kinds of things. Ball practice, band practice, majorette practice. You know, just walking home, brushing your teeth in the morning. And God wants you to take everything that you do from day to day, and He wants you to commit that to Him in such a way and to ask the question, what can my day do to glorify God? He wants you to answer that question so significantly that you know that every single aspect of your day, from brushing your teeth to leading a Bible study and sharing your faith with somebody, is under His control and under Him. Boy, He wants you to trust Him with your day. And when you spend time alone with Him in the morning, you're able to do that just simply as you commit things to Him. Proverbs 3 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge or glorify Him, and He will direct your path." Well, God will direct your path if you'll just commit the day to Him, and He'll direct it day by day in His will, the way He wants you to go, if you'll just commit your life to Him and commit your day to Him day by day. That's what He wants out of your life. Now, that's what a quiet time is. As your desires become His desires, God begins to work in your life so that you actually want to spend time with Him. Now, why do you do that? Why have a time alone with God? That's the second thing on your sheet, and I want you to fill it out as we go down, okay? I want you to fill it out. There are three things we want to put in here. Why have a time alone with God? Why do we have a time alone with God? Because the first reason is because God desires my fellowship. You think about that. Man, that is a staggering thought, that God desires my fellowship. God actually wants to get to know me. John 4:23, it says that those who come to worship God come to worship Him in spirit and in truth, that God might seek them out who worship Him, with the idea that He really enjoys being with us. Now let me tell you what's going to happen to me tonight, okay? Tonight, at 7:17, I'll walk off of Delta Airlines in Atlanta, Georgia, and my wife and my little boy will be there, and I haven't seen them for 10 days. And my little boy, when I come off that plane, my little boy, Scott, he'll be going, Daddy, 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 Daddy. He kind of gets in a rut and says it about 50 times, you know. And he gets all excited about that. And boy, let me tell you something. When I see him and when I see my wife, I'm going to be really excited. You know, one of the greatest times of my day is when I spend time with my little boy. Enjoy spending time with him. You know, my usual routine of the day is not to ride hobby horses and crawl around in the bushes out in our yard. You know, that's just not a normal part of the things I do day by day. But you know, I really get a kick out of riding that hobby horse with my son and crawling around out in the bushes with him because he likes to do that and it gives me a chance to spend time with him. Man, it's really neat. We do all kinds of wild, crazy things together. We play with blocks and we drive his little car around. Just bought him a new Nerf football. And boy, we're just, you know, really excited about getting that home to him and tossing the ball to him and all that kind of thing, you know. One of the things I've just been teaching him as we spent time together is we just really enjoyed taking a shower together. I hold that little character right up there in my arms and I'm teaching him to stick his head under the shower like that, you know, and get that water in his mouth and then go. He's catching on pretty quick. Boy, we spend a lot of time together. I even enjoy the times when I have to change his diapers. And he's made a big old fat mess, you know. I enjoy those. You know why? You know why? Let me tell you why. Because I'm his daddy and he's my boy. I don't enjoy changing other kids' diapers. Just my boy. And you know, that's the way it is in our relationship to God. God's our father and I'm his son and you're his sons and daughters. And he desires my fellowship. He enjoys spending time with me because he loves me so much. Man, that's exciting, isn't it? Because he loves me so much. But you know, God not only desires my fellowship, but the second thing we want to learn here on why to have time alone with God is because he deserves my attention. Now some of this has never occurred to you before, but Jesus Christ bought you with a price. He bought you with a price. He paid for you with his life. And what he wants to do out of your life is that he wants you to realize that he died for you, that that crown of thorns was placed on his head for you, that he was scourged for you, that he was nailed to the cross for you, because he loves you. And for that reason, he deserves your attention. But for another reason, he deserves your attention, because 3 days later, he walked out of the grave, arose out of that grave. Man, he was alive, conquered death, and is now the Lord of the universe. And because he's Lord of the universe, he deserves your attention. He has a claim on your life. He deserves for you to listen to him about what he has to say about your life. And if you don't listen, you probably think you're too good, or you're too smart, or you're too religious to listen to what God has to say. If you don't listen to what he has to say about your life. But what he wants you to do, he wants you to realize that he has a claim on your life. And that he deserves your attention, and he wants you to take your focus off of yourself with your life, off of all your clothes and your popularity and your athletics and all your things. Me, 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 me. And he wants us to focus them on him because he deserves my attention. And as I focus my eyes on him day by day and spend time alone with him, then he can get my attention and do in my life what he wants to do. What he wants to do. And then it's necessary. We have a quiet time because it's necessary for a vital and growing relationship to Jesus Christ. We have to have a vital and growing relationship to Jesus Christ. A couple days ago, Steve Stroop and I were out there, and a bunch of other guys from Super Summer 74, we were out there at Six Flags. Man, we were having the greatest time. The first thing we got on was a big bend, you know. Man, we were all fired up. We were going to ride with our hands up like this. And we started up that thing, you know, and started going around really slow, you know, kind of anticipating that thing. And then we started up that hill, and we got up the top, and it was, you know, it was pretty good, man, going up there. And we got to the top, and we could see out all over Dallas for just a split second. And then all of a sudden, we start off around those curves and around and up and down and up and down and up and down. And it occurs to me, your life's like that. Well, sometimes it's going great guns, going uphill, and everything's growing along. All of a sudden, you get to the top, and boy, you really see a glimpse of the Lord. You come to a conference like this and everything gets really exciting. you come to a camp or a conference or a revival, and man, everything's looking really good, and then you come back home, and you're high as a kite, and some of you girls are crying like crazy, you know, like some of you were last night, and then some of you guys are just, man, you're just really soaring with the Lord, and you got wee willy goosebumps all over your body and stuff, you know, and then from 2 weeks to 6 months later after something like that happens, you go, bam! And you fall flat on your nose. And you say, good grief, you know, I've given my life to Jesus 12 times now, what's next? And the problem is that you haven't, not that you have given your life to Christ, the problem lies in the simple fact that you have not been spending time alone with God day by day to have a vital and growing relationship with Him. The Bible says that Jesus went out in the morning to pray, and if it's important enough for Jesus, it's important enough for you. Now, how do you do that? How do you have a time alone with God? We want to look at that for just a few minutes here, and we're going to try to do a little bit of it here. So I want you to just really hang with me now, okay? Is everybody with me? You with me? Yeah, okay, that's good. Now, here's what I want us to do. I want to point out three things to you, and then I want us to go through a quiet time. I want us to learn how to have a plan for spending time alone with God. And the first thing we need to realize is you need to choose a time. Choose a time. You need a time, sometime during the day when you spend time alone with God in your life. You need a time when you spend time alone with Him. Sometime during the day. And you know, you've watched the Dallas Cowboys, haven't you? And the Dallas Cowboys, you notice that when they play football on television, they never warm up after the game, do they? I mean, you've never seen them do that. That'd be really stupid. They always warm up before the game, don't they? Right. Okay. So, the important point for us is that, boy, we need to realize that God wants us to spend time with Him in the morning before our day starts, before we get into the game, before we get into the battle, so that He can be in control of us and we can be warmed up all during the day. That's what He wants out of our life. Choose a time in the morning. Some of you say, oh man, I could do it at night. No, you can't. You need to do it in the morning. Besides, you need to pay the price for doing it in the morning. There's another thing that you need to do, and that is to choose a place. Had a friend played basketball after college, and we usually stayed four to a room in the places where we stayed, and he liked to be by himself. So he'd go into the bathroom, and he'd shut the door and turn on the light and sit there in the bathroom with no water in the bathtub just to study and spend time alone with the Lord. You know, now there's maybe a place in your house, somewhere like that, somewhere where you need to get alone with God so that you can spend time with Him. Choose a time, choose a place, and choose a plan, and that's what we're going to look at right now. To choose a plan, we want to show you a plan this morning that you can use. Get your program out and look at it. Get your program out and look at it. And under time alone with God, it's got several things under there, and when you get down, there's a place where it says date. Now I want you to take your pencil, and we're going to look into the scriptures for just a few minutes, and then we're going to spend some time in prayer so you can see what a time alone with God is really like. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your pencil, and I want you to write in the date. July the 6th, 1974, okay? Write that in right now. All right? Now, on the passage, if you have your Bible, raise your hand. Okay? There's one close enough to you so that you can see. So you get one and look on one, but don't talk to anybody. Look on one and turn to John 14:21. That's the passage that we're going to be looking at. John 14:21. Okay? And what I want you to do right now is I want you to read that passage. I want you to read that passage very quickly. It won't take you but just a second. Read it right now. Okay, now, here's what I want you to do next. It says on your sheet, on your program here, it says message title. I want you to give that verse a title. I want you to just give it a title. Just one word, maybe one phrase, two or three words. Just give it a title and write it in there on your program. Right now, just do that. Write that in on your program, the message title. Okay, do that quickly. Everybody doing this. Everybody participating. Okay, and then it says key verse, and obviously the key verse here is John 14:21, since that's the one we're studying. And then I want you to go on to the message in summary. And the message in summary is I just want you to summarize that passage in about two lines. Two lines, just very quickly. Read through it and then summarize it very quickly and write that summary down right here on your program. You write it down right now. Write that down. Okay, if you need some more time, just raise your hand on that. If you need more time, just a little bit more time. Okay. Okay, now we're moving on to the most important thing of all in that passage, and that is the message applied to my life. And when you apply something to your life, it's very easy, you know, you read something like this and you say, boy, you know, I ought to love all Christians and obey all God's commands. That's what I ought to do. Or that's what all Christians ought to obey God's commands, and all Christians ought to love other people. Well, here's what we want to do. We want to make it personal, and we want to make it practical, and we want to make it measurable. We want to say, I love, not somebody else or not all Christians, but I need to love. See, now that makes it personal. You make it practical. I need to love my brother. And then you make it measurable by saying, I need to love my brother by washing his car on Saturday afternoon. See, now that's the application. So what I want you to do is I just want you to spend a few minutes applying that to your life. One way that you need to obey God, one way that you need to love other Christians and to love God, you just write that down out of that passage. You just write that down right now. How this applies to your life, personally, practically, and measurably. Okay, now this is the way, you get the idea, this is the way that you can spend time in the Scriptures day by day. 5 minutes, 10 minutes alone with God in the Scriptures day by day. But there's another aspect to this time alone with God, and that is that we need to spend time in prayer with Him. And we're going to do that right now. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, not close your eyes, because you need to look at your program. Don't close your eyes and don't put down your pencil. You hold that, you may want to write while we're praying. And on your program, you realize that it says, under the prayer guide, it says praise. I want you to praise God right now. I want you to praise God by singing to yourself just one stanza of He's Everything to Me. Just to yourself. Not out loud, but to yourself. Just sing that to God. Not to me, to anybody else, but to God. Just sing that in your mind to God as you praise Him. And now as we're in an attitude of real prayer, I want you to do this. I want you to confess your sins. That's another part of this prayer with God that we need to have every day, to confess our sins. And you just write some of those. If you got a pencil and a piece of paper, just write them out there. Just begin to write them down. Write down your sins. I know we can't get to the whole list, but you just begin to write those down and confess them to God right now. Confess your sins to God. First Thessalonians 5:18 says, as we continue in an attitude of prayer, everyone with their head bowed, as we continue in an attitude of prayer, the Bible says,
that in all things give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. The good things, the bad things. Right now, I want you to thank God for one good thing that's happened in your life and one really lousy thing that's happened in your life this week. Alright, and now we move on to petition, and that simply means that you pray for yourself. And right there on that sheet, I want you to write down Galatians 2:20 and Galatians 5:22 and 23. Galatians 2:20 and Galatians 5:22 and 23. And I want you to pray right now about yourself. I want you to pray about yourself right now. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Right now, you claim that in your life. And pray for yourself. And then the last area of prayer is intercession. And that just simply means praying for other people. I want to encourage you right now as we continue in an attitude of prayer to pray for your family. To pray for one non-Christian friend right now. And for your family. And I want you to pray for your friends and for your enemies. And right now, you just commit your day to the Lord. You just take time right now to commit your day to the Lord today. Give it to Him and trust Him with it. Lord, we pray these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now you've been through a kind of a short time alone with God, and you can begin to take this guide that you have on your program when you get back home and spend time alone with God every single day. Now let me put one final thing on you before we go. One final thing. So many of you are saying, boy, I'd really like to be a leader on my campus. I'd like to do what Charlie Baker said and really win people to Christ on my campus and really make an influence and be the kind of person God wants me to be there. And I really want to be a leader there, but man, I just don't have it. And the question really is, I think, for you to answer this morning, are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to pay the price to do that? And I'm going to ask you to pay one definite price this morning, and that is I'm going to ask you to commit yourself to get up 15 minutes early every day for the next 30 days and spend that time alone with God. No matter what time you've been getting up, I'm going to ask you to commit yourself to do that, and that is between you and God. And on your program, it says right at the bottom, will you commit yourself to a time alone with God every morning for the next 30 days? 15 minutes with God every day for the next 30 days. And you check either yes or you check no. And my prayer is the prayer of Jeremiah as God spoke through him years ago. If you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, says the Lord. Spend time alone with God, and you'll know Him and glorify Him and have real purpose in your life as you begin to follow Him.